winning trophies. I'm inexperiencing a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir, how you doing? How you doing? Big night in Europe. Big night in the second league of Europe, which is Europa League. United get through 1-0 with a Paul Pogba goal. What an impact he had in the second half, sir. We are moving on to the quarterfinals. How we doing? How we doing?
Sir, absolutely buzzing. Paul P, man of the match performance. Boy, have we been missing some of that. Pog back. He played amazing. The first half, unbelievably dull. He comes in. We look like a completely new team. That's the Manchester United we've all wanted to see in these last nine matches. That's the Manchester United. You know, the effort. I thought everyone kind of just upped their game solid when Paul Pogba scored that goal. I mean, what a hit. What a player.
What a player indeed. And it was definitely a tale of two halves for United. Sir, a tale of two halves for United, because first half, like you said, it was like the first game, wasn't a lot of chances, and United were playing slow. Paul Pogba comes on, and it's like, this is what we've been missing. This is what we need in our life, is more Paul P. We've been in a little bit of a lull, you will say, about United. Some of the performances in the last 2 months. Bruno's been tired. Rashford's been tired. A lot of reliance on our Portuguese Magnifico. Paul just taking some of that burden off today, it made all the difference. United just started clicking into place. Free flow one, and that was without, you know, a striker on the field other than Mason Greenwood, the 19-year-old. So a lot of promise looking forward in the season, sir, in the last push with some boys coming back into play.
No, absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, we've been talking about quite a few nil-nils, talking about this sort of lull in attack. Like, what are we missing? What do we need? Like, why can't the lads kind of mix it up? Where's the effort? Where's the intensity? And boy, we saw it today. Paul Pogba comes on, scores a goal. Everyone thinks they're Paul Pogba after that. You know, Dan James looks sharper, Bruno sharper, everybody. I mean, our defense played well. Shout out to Dino. I mean, big game. And it's all about these moments. You need a goal away in Italy. We get it. We do it with our talisman, Paul Pogba. Let's kick on. Let's kick on and win a piece of silverware, because that's what Paul Pogba represents for this team. Let's kick on, win the FA Cup. And I think getting the right players back at the right time could break us out of this like sleepwalking phase like we saw in the first half of this match, that like we've seen for a few matches before this, and really lead to some special results for Manchester United. We've been dying for this, and it's time. You know, sir, we can't be selling Paul Pogba this summer, I'll tell you. We can talk about that a little later, too. I mean, you want to sell him out of this team right now? Not a chance.
We'll talk about that later, sir. But right now, I want him in my side. We got a big push at the end of the season. League looks a little bit too far based on the slip-ups we've had over the last 2 months. But there's some silverware to play for. And playing for second, best of the rest, is something that means something. You know, I'd like to close the gap with City, but also I want to stay ahead of everybody else that's not even worth mentioning at this point. But it's about advancing in the cups. That's what this week was about. Two big cup competitions. Europa League, business done. Job done. Zlatan almost had his moment. His moment of impact, he was offsides though, but Hendo with a huge save. And now it's about kicking on the FA Cup, sir, because I'm more excited about the FA Cup than the Europa League, because that cup, I think, still has some prestige, at least in England. So looking forward to the weekend. It's going to be a big match against a tough Leicester City side.
For anyone who doesn't think the FA Cup has some prestige, I mean, you got to go to the history books, sir. That's where it all started. That's where the whole game started. It was a cup competition. There wasn't a league. You can go all the way back mid to late 1860s here. So, you know, there's a lot of history with that, rich history. United, we haven't won the most. That's something that we can jump over Arsenal. I mean, not with this one, but we always need more FA Cups. We always need more European Cups, sir. You know, and so we can add one of each this year. And something that you always say on the podcast, it's not how you start, it's how you finish, right? And if Paul Pogba coming in at halftime against AC Milan, being the catalyst to drive on some silverware and a strong finish in the league, whether or not we win or not, sir, we're not out of it yet, some might say. But here at the American Red Devils, the biased fan might say, we're not out of it until the mass says we are. So a strong league finish. You got some strong teams. Chelsea, big performance in the Champions League. They're in the race for top four. They got a lot of momentum, sir. You know, so we're in a race for top four, whether you like to admit it or not. And we need some big results against some big teams in these last nine games in the league. That starts in April. But, you know, starting to play well at the right time is going to be critical for United over the next 2 months.
No doubt. And, you know, this side, this United side, this Ole Gunnar Solskjaer coach side is streaky. They always have been, for better or for worse. And this could be the beginning of a streak to the positive. I think a couple big wins heading into the international break. Let us lick our wounds a little bit. Let's get some boys back from injury. Hopefully Rashford's isn't too serious. Hopefully Tony is back relatively soon. Cavani, I don't know what's going on. He was a fit for about 20 minutes. Literally, he's like, Simon Stone says he's available. Simon Stone says he's not available. I've never seen anything like it. Poor Cavani.
The quote was, he didn't react well to training, yeah, which is like, he didn't react well to playing football.
What he's paid to do. That's like me. I wouldn't react well to training either, sir, but... Anyway, we could use him back. I don't know. I mean, that's probably a bad omen for us re-signing his deal. His injury record's not been great.
I would agree. I would second that. You know, he's got to start getting games. Otherwise, you know, he wants the Boca Juniors return. He's not playing matches at Manchester United. Seems a lot like Marcus Rojas or another famous South American player from Manchester United. Let's take a pass on some South Americans. Fred has been doing a job, though, I will say. Some might debate that, but he is available and he is healthy. So, you know, there is that. Sir, we are the American Red Devils podcast. We are supported for fans by fans. You like the pod, you can support us on Patreon. We have no private sponsorships. It's just two fans from the couch giving you that biased fan take, sir. We're a little remote today. As is tradition, we try to get as many pods out to you as possible. But we believe that we want to be supported directly by the fans, nothing else. So no sponsors, no nothing. You want to support us, we think the best way to do that is Patreon, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. You can check out our tiers. You can support us from anything from $1 a month to $20 a month. Big shout out, and I mean huge shout out, to Alexis Vargas, Sir Alex and Alex Ferguson Stan supporter, and Jared S. Stretford N. Stan supporter. Those are two different tiers that you can support us on Patreon. Shout out to you guys. You make independent fan content possible. And the reason why we want to go this route is because we don't want Eddie Woodward or any influence around what we say here. We have built a website and this podcast, and it's all about that biased fan take. Sir, another way to support us is check out our store at www.AmericanRedDevils.com. We have some great merchandise. You click on store on our website. We got blankets. We have beanies. They're absolute fire, sir. We have posters of our new Stanley Chow design logo, scarves, etc. Glazers Out merch is on sale, $9.99. Check that out. And while you're on the website, read our amazing fan content, sir. Tell them about the blog.
The blog is ripping. www.AmericanRedDevils.com. Amazing fan-generated content from, hey, the American Red Devil fan base. We have fans contributing from all over the world. We have coverage on the first team, the U23 team, the women's team. We're doing top fives every week, so check us out as well. That store, you got to check it out, of course, because the blanket is in. It is fire, sir. They are flying out the shelves, and, you know, it's a perfect day for a blanket in cold, rainy Northern California today. Another great way to support the pod is you can write a review on iTunes. It is one of the best ways for us to get found organically, and it's absolutely free. And even better, we are giving away stickers. All you have to do is write a 5-star review on iTunes, insert your cheeky banter, even better, and send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and we will get some free stickers out the door to you ASAP rocks. Sir, what else we got?
Sir, if you make us laugh in your review, we'll send you more stickers. How about that? You know, this guy's are sending Glazers Out stickers. He got pod stickers. So if you like stickers, it's free to write a review. It goes a long way for helping the podcast. Sir, that is the PSA. Hans and Franz, they got to drop that beat. We're going on quarterfinals. It ain't stopping. Let's go.
You ready for this? You ready for this heat?
Let's go.
So they edited a little bit more when they were lining up before the game. They like cut to the very end, which is a smart move.
Yeah, they didn't give us the full build up. I'm kind of ashamed. That's right, we're talking. Hans and Franz have dropped the beat. AC Milan 0. Manchester United 1 at the San Siro. Sir, I heard the San Siro is full of shit. If you ever sung the song at the Bishop's Blaze. Europa League round of 16, leg 2. Could we get our goal? Could we do the business? I think we could, sir. Here's the lineup. Dino, world, number 1.5 in net. Luke Shaw left back, Maguire Lindelof center back pairing, Aaron Wan-Bissaka on the right, the Fred McTominay midfield, Rashford, Bruno in the hole, James and Greenwood up top, sir. Rashford on the left, James on the right. What do you think of this lineup?
You know, I had some question marks around it. Understandably so. We all want to see Paul Pogba. We had to score a goal. I'm a little surprised that Ole went with the same starting 11 as the weekend, but given the injuries and given that Paul's probably not up to match fitness, it makes sense. So, hey, not a ton of surprises, right? A lot of injuries. Baye's not available. Martial's not available. So I wasn't too shocked with who we saw. What do you think, sir?
Sir, I thought that Pogba was not going to be up to fitness. That's why he was on the bench. They probably told him he could do a half.
Totally.
Van de Beek as well. I mean, you're looking at the bench as Pogba, Van de Beek. Those are the two players. And obviously you have Ahmad, might be worth a punt as well on the right if James wasn't coming off. But you're right. Those are tired legs out there too, sir. You know, this is a lineup that's unchanged. I think that's probably why we saw a lackluster first half. You want to jump into that lackluster first half? Wait.
Hans of Franz, it's growing on me, sir. I don't know what to say.
You know what? During the first half, I was thinking, I was like, oh, man, if we get bounced, we don't get any more Hans of Franz.
I was thinking the exact same thing. I was like, we get bounced. It's not the worst thing in the world. As long as we don't get bounced in the FA Cup as well. Let's jump into that first half. You know, United did come out a little bit on the front foot. They were pushing early. It just didn't really last. And that first minute, James actually put in a good early ball, but Greenwood couldn't get to the end of it. It was a decent ball, sir, but there's just no striker in the box.
And same in the 12th minute, Shaw, great job. Layoff for Bruno. Bad take by Bruno. You know, I thought the best spell we had in the first half was the first probably 12, 15 minutes. After that, our energy faded, and it looked pretty bad. You know, passing, scratchy. Fred wasn't doing well. The whole team wasn't doing well. And Milan had some breaks.
They did. And it was like a little bit like the first half, excuse me, the first leg. United did not look that cohesive like we could pass through their midfield. So it was tough. 21st minute, James breaks again. But pass is taken down for a penalty shout, sir. He actually put a ball in and actually got gazumped. The ref was letting a lot of shit play today.
Sir, the defender got the ball here. There was a lot looking for the penalty. If you watch the replay, he did get the ball. Got a lot of the man. Don't think this was a penalty shout, but what you got to see with Dan James is – when he has this 2v1, 3v2, 3v1, and he has the ball on the right, it's almost like you can see him thinking about what he should do. And here the pass to Greenwood was on, like 100%. He was wide open. It's like has to go in there. And his decision-making needs to be improved because this one, you know, if you're a striker, you're 2v1, and you take it, and it doesn't go in, like, that's on you, right?
No doubt. I have to say, like, but for other parts, Dan James is running. His just general play has gotten better. Like, his decision-making in the final third, he needs to improve, but he was getting away from Theo Hernandez, who Freddie was prepping up big time at this big deal left back, who looked pretty average today. Dan James had him in his pocket and was, you know, turning him open a couple times. So you're absolutely right.
He played well. I'm saying he played well, but in the 2v1.
No doubt.
You know, on the break, you got him dead to rights. You need the scoring chance. So you need the shot on target. That's, you know, where he's lacking a little bit. I mean, I actually think he improved in the second half, like, greatly. You know, he had a good service. So, again, I'm just trying to isolate the 2v1, 3v1 situations with James on the ball on the right. You know, I thought the pass was on. But, you know, sir, I don't play for Manchester United, so what do I know?
So you're not wrong. And you know what? It was actually one of the last good chances for United in that first half because then it was really all AC Milan. 24th minute, Milan break, but Maguire puts in a really good tackle. 33rd minute, more of the same, but actually Maguire put in another good tackle. He was immense in the first half. And then in the 35th minute, Bruno with a bad giveaway, like uncharacteristically bad. It was like a Fred giveaway, but Fred had a great game. And Lindelof with a huge tackle. So both Lindelof and Maguire were playing immense in that first half. And then 45th minute, right before the end of the half, AC Milan with another good chance, but it was AWB this time. So as you talked about when we first got into this match, sir, it was a total defense performance. Like everybody in the back line played well. Hendo played well. But United headed into that halftime, sir, it looked like we needed a creative spark if we were going to get a goal at the San Siro.
Sir, I was, it was no fan after watching that first half had to feel good about that. You know, it was these past, you know, 8 or 9 games, we've seen it before, sir, seen this movie before, someone defending, can't break him down, sloppy pass and not no urgency. You know, I tweeted preseason vibes. We felt like, We just need to, someone needs to grab the game by the scruff of the neck. You know, who's going to be, you know, it's almost like you need a Roy Keane out there to tell everyone to wake up. You know, are they going to take the, they're not going to take the bus home. You know, you need someone to like get the boys up for it. Who could that be? Who could Ole turn to?
Number 6, enter Paul Pogba, halftime sub, sir. You got to give either Ole credit because no, people don't give him credit often, especially when he makes the right move, but bringing him on at halftime. I mean, it looks like Rashford went down. So it was Pogba for Rashford at half. The only concern is he wouldn't pull Marcus unless it was an injury.
No, absolutely. It was his ankle. He had an ankle wrap before the game, took it off. You could tell it was bothering. He's definitely playing injured, sir. Whether doing pain-killing injections, who knows? But, you know, for Rashford to get this much, for him to go be injured and then come back and then play this much is kind of insane as well. But Ole really has no options.
No options, sir. We could use a Haaland. He's a fit Cavani. And it didn't take long for Mr. Paul P to make an impact, sir, in the 48th minute. How you doing? How you doing?
Played into Pogba. Fernandez. It's Wan-Bissaka. Here's James. Big deflection on that. Pogba. The flick from Fred. Maite has lost it. Pogba. Pogba scores. He has made the difference. Less than 3 minutes after coming on, Manchester United have got the crucial away goal.
Sir, what a goal. It had a Tony Martial vibe to it. He scored a goal a little bit similar last year. We needed a spark of magic. We needed a spark of creativity, and that's exactly what Paul offered. As soon as he came in, we looked more confident. We held on the ball better. Bruno played better. Everybody looked better. Defense was getting up for it. Some of those defenders had a game of their life in the second half, just crushing AC Milan.
Sir, there's football players who know the game. They know the tactics. You know, they do well in training. And then there's ballers. And ballers come in 3 minutes, haven't played in how long, and they just ball. And that's Paul Pogba right there. You know, it's the intangible. It's why we paid that money for Paul P. It's why, you know, all the good and bad things come with it. But you see, it's big players, big moments, sir. Zlatan's one of them as well. And, you know, Paul Pogba, he's like, dude, that's why I'm Paul Pogba right here. This is big. I mean, this is huge for a team. Like, we can't get a goal. No one can do anything. 3 minutes. That's all it took. 3 minutes.
I mean, that's one of the biggest goals he scored for United. Other than, like, that City goal, just taking away their title in front of us, this is a huge one. So, as soon as they got that goal, United were fired up. So, AC Milan, they were pushing for an equalizer in the 50th minute. Hendo with a nice save after, like I said, AC Milan were pushing. And then right after this, United looked threatening. 52nd minute, Greenwood with a nice little take after some nice movement from United. Wasn't until the 74th minute when Hendo was really tested from a massive save.
6'5"
Hard as fuck. He gets the Reds excited. Stick your city up your ass because we are Man United. 74th minute, it was Hendo with a massive save on him. I think he was off, but either way, Hendo making up for that goal he let in the first stage. Huge save on the big man who really wanted to score today.
Great cross. And hey, you want to see dunk headers, dunk header from Ibra.
Yeah.
And it's on target. I mean, that's one thing about Ibrahimovic. Like, what a header. And Dino, same exact position, same type of header, perfect save. And that's what you expect from him. And great for Dino, you know, to be tested, right? Because you had that happen. Maybe he's in his head about it. Oh, I should have done better. And it comes back in the same tie. And he makes the difference between us going extra time and arguably helping us win the game here, Dean Henderson.
He really did. He really did. And it wasn't until the very end of the game where there's some real decisive action. 88th minute, James put in a great ball for Pogba, but the Frenchman just blasted right over. It was a good chance for a second. And then it was the 92nd minute, Dino coming up twice to gather, putting his body on the line. And so this is, for me, why he's the number one keeper and why De Gea is no longer number one. Because at the end of the day, is like the game is physical and De Gea is a little soft. And I think Dino proved his worth today. He took a beating from that Milan side. And we haven't seen De Gea willing to do that. 450 pounds a week. He hasn't been willing to do that. So Dino coming up with some big, big clearances at the end of the game. That was all she wrote. But I have to do a shout out to Dino because that was huge. Take it on the chin.
Sir, you know, all I ask is that we put some respect on David De Gea's name. You know, we might not say he might not be the number one anymore. He might be heading out of the club, but he's done great things for United, won a title. You know, he's played for a long time. And the reason why I rate De Gea, all the contract controversy, he was a class act. So I do agree with you. He's gotten soft. I would maybe Spanish keepers are a little soft. You know, the game's a little different in Spain. So, you know, and then Dino's old English and he's coming out like, you know, heavy metal. And you want to see that from your goalkeeper. So I totally agree with you, but we got to always put some respect on De Gea's name.
Respect, man.
I'm with you, sir. I'm with you because I'm not going to like take away from what he's done, what he means to this club. For me, he is a United legend under Fergie. He grew under Fergie, won a title, also saved our asses, saved LVG's ass, saved Jose's ass. It's just the game has passed him by, and I think he's gotten, you know, I think the game has passed him by at this point. So it'd be better for everybody if he moves on. Dino feels like a United keeper. He's vocal. I think he's the guy.
No, I agree. I actually do agree with you here, but, you know, it's one of those things where it's sad to see.
It is.
As a fan, right? You know, you're right. Like, De Gea, all of a sudden these errors happen, and then, like, he looks like he's not really, like, wants to get physical, and you're kind of like, what happened? But, you know, you can kind of see the writing on the wall. We'll be talking about the keeper situation much more because with the, you know, the rumors we might sign, Donnarumma from AC Milan, other keepers is, like, very interesting at the moment, sir. Very interesting. Match stats. This is right down the middle. AC Milan, 51% of the ball. United, 49. Shots. AC Milan, 10. The United, 13. On target, 4-4, sir. Corners, 4-4. This is right down the middle. United with the goal. Paul Pogba, the difference maker, gets us the win. And going on to the quarterfinals of Europa League. The Europa League, sir. We'll just leave it at that. Poor man's Champions League. Dean Henderson has kept 11 clean sheets in just 18 appearances for Man United in all competitions this season. One more than De Gea has registered in 29 games. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has reached at least the 8 of all 8 knockout tournaments he's been in with Man United. Now, that's kind of a caveat there because we didn't get the knockout of the Champions League, right?
I guess they call it the same tournament, sir. I guess they call it the same tournament.
We got knocked out of the Champions League, so we did not make the last 8. No Man United player was involved in more shots versus AC Milan than Paul Pogba. 3 taken and 2 created, despite the Frenchman coming out at halftime. I mean, you saw how United looked like a different team after that goal. We looked like a completely different team. It was unbelievable. Everything that we were shouting in our TVs for the last couple of games that we should be doing, we were doing in the second half. It's unbelievable.
It was fun to watch. It was exciting. We looked the better team. We like took it to AC Milan, and then they started. The best is we scored, and they started just like really owning the onus of an Italian club, which was like they played a little dirty. They put in some dirty tackles, and United looked a different side. We talk about tale of two halves all the time, but this was truly it. I mean, this was like pre Bruno, post Bruno.
The first half, I thought you'd come out ready to punch him in the mouth, score early, like. Intensity, like, you know, and it's like almost like as the first half went on, it was like we got worse, and then Paul Pogba came, boom, we're back, baby. And so, hey, Paul Pogba, you better be starting at Leicester. That's all I gotta say. And Manchester United have progressed from each of their last 2 knockout ties with Milan in European competition, having been eliminated each of the 4 ties beforehand. Sir, we remember those. Kaká did us dirty in the Champions League back in 06-07 and 04-05.
Yeah, well, he was on a different level then. 07, he was probably the best player in the world, wasn't he? Right before the Ronaldo-Messi two-horse race that's gone on for over a decade?
Yeah, then he went to Real Madrid, and pretty much that was the end of his career, sir. What do we know? Let's check in with the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Ole, congratulations. What are your first thoughts after that?
Very happy, of course. We've come through a very difficult tie against a fantastic club, a very good team, and we've overcome some difficulties, definitely.
How nice is it to have a player like Paul Pogba to be able to send on in the second half when you need to score to go through?
You know, we've missed Paul. He's been out for almost 2 months, and of course any team would miss a player like Paul Pogba. He was just getting into his best form, and he's very important for us. He's going to give us a big boost the rest of the season. So, and today he made a very, very big difference for us.
There's been a lot of talk about those spate of goalless draws that you had. The other side of that is that you're keeping a lot of clean sheets. How important is that in terms of trying to win a tournament such as this, knockout football?
Well, you give yourself a chance to win a game of football. And Dean had a fantastic save towards the end from the big lad. And I'm very pleased with everyone's defending. You know, from the front, you see Dan James, Mason, Marcus and Bruno, the front four pressing like they do. And we always know that the back six with Scott and Fred and the back four always give everything.
How confident are you about going all the way in this competition? Made the last four last season. Do you feel you can go further this year?
Many good teams, of course. You've got to be spot on when you play. It's cup competitions. Anything can happen. You can today. I think it's a penalty for Dan James in the first minute or 5 minutes or whatever. But sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. If you get that against you, anything can happen in cup competitions. So, but we're through. We're confident. We're happy. Looking forward to the draw.
Looking forward to the draw, indeed, sir. Who are we gonna get? What do you make of Ole's comments after the big win?
Ole, Mr. Nice Guy, don't think you're getting that pen, though. That's my only complaint about his comments. But yeah, Ole keeps down the middle. Dude, we got what we needed. We got our goal. We're on. Let's on to the draw. Sir, the teams that made the quarterfinals, I'm doing my best pronouncing them. We got some funky ones here. Dynamo Zagreb, they eliminated
Spurs.
Tottenham, unbelievable. Scored 3 goals, 1 extra time. Lads, it's Tottenham. Slavia Prague, they eliminated Rangers. Arsenal threw, you know, them. Are they in the top half of the table, sir? I haven't seen it in a while. Then we have us, Roma, Ajax, Granada, Villarreal. So is Ole saying there's some big teams here? Let's be honest. You know, it's like the Ajax team isn't the Ajax team. They sold a lot of their players. When we played them in the final, they were like really, really good. What was it, 16-17? Arsenal's terrible. Slavia Prague, what do you mean? Zagreb, really? And then you're like, okay, Granada, Villarreal, Roma, maybe? I mean, dude, come on. Like, we're odds on favorite. 538.com says that 31% chance for us to win. Arsenal behind us at 19. Then it's Ajax, then Villarreal. So, you know, again, it's not the same Ajax we're used to. And then Arsenal's probably the next biggest threat. And we know Arsenal are not that good, sir. Aubameyang out of favor. He was benched. You know, all that drama. It's Arteta, bro. I mean, come on. Like, this is our competition to win. Milan was probably one of the better teams left.
No, they were, but it's still cup competition. It's still football, and this is not decided on paper. So I agree. A couple of the biggest teams were knocked out. Milan, no, that's one of the hardest teams you'll face in the competition. That was a good Milan side. I know they had a lot of injuries, but they are well coached, well organized. They play well together. But the only problem is the Gunners. We haven't had the best track record against the Gunners. So I'd like to see them in the final if they have to make it to the final. I'm not worried. I'm with you. This is the Europa League. But that being said, you know,
I said we're odds on favorites to win, and you're like making excuses.
I'm cagey like Ole, bro. I'm cagey like Ole. I'm not giving you nothing.
You want to know where Roma is?
Where are they in Serie A?
Or 6 in Serie A, bro.
Yeah, Arsenal are 10th, right? So.
What?
Arsenal are 10th, so.
Yeah, Roma is not AC Milan, you know, and La Liga table here. Let's get that going. Let's check out Villarreal. Sir, I mean, we're going around the world
let's
here.
Let's do it, baby. Granada.
Villarreal are 7th. Granada's 8th.
Where was Real Sociedad?
What?
Where are they ranked, Sociedad, as you're looking at the Liga?
They're fifth in La Liga.
So it's like a Sociedad side.
Okay, so We're talking 7th, 8th in La Liga, 7th in Serie A. Ajax are probably like top of the table in the Revidesi. But again, that's the Revidesi. This is like bank, sir, we should be winning this competition now.
Yeah.
Like we should be winning it. And I hope to see Slavia Prague get pulled out of that little container tomorrow. So the draw is tomorrow, 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern. They're drawing the quarterfinals and the semifinals, sir. They do it that way where basically you don't know who it is, but it's the winner of X and X play X and X. And then the finals, they do a draw for who's considered the home team, which is really just a jersey pick. So, yeah, that the really the final draw is tomorrow. Who do you want? Why? And why?
I don't want a big travel trip. So Zagreb, that sounds far. I don't know what that is, but that sounds pretty far. Ajax, nice and close, right over the channel. Wouldn't mind them. Gunners for a little bit of revenge, but like Granada, they're bottom of that table. That sounds pretty good. I'll take Granada.
Dude, Arsenal Man United would be awesome.
It would.
Right? You know, that, you know, like, you know, it's either that or like Granada, Villarreal. You know, Ajax is probably the one I don't want to see. I'm fine with Roma too. You know, you're right. Actually, thinking about the travel, Zagreb or Prague, I don't want, but Arsenal United, that's the one I probably want. Because, like you said, for some reason, we are better than Arsenal 100%, but we have this, like, kind of, you know, bad juju where we can't beat them. You're totally right. They've been our boogeymen, and what better way to do it than dispatch them in a European Cup competition? So I think I'll take Arsenal.
Sounds good to me, sir. We're going to find out tomorrow morning, I believe, about the Cup draw.
Yeah, tomorrow morning, 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern, sir. You getting up at 4:45 to watch the Europa League Cup draw?
Yeah,
Hans and Franz?
Yeah, I'm good, bro. I'll set it as my alarm that...
I'm going to stay up all night with the Hans and Franz music on repeat until 4:45 a.m.
There you go.
Or then I'll true call fan. You playing the Hans and Franz theme song so then we can celebrate the Europa League draw. How about that?
Sir, call me up. We'll see if I pick up.
I'm just kidding. I will wake up probably around 7 a.m. and then check my phone and see who we play.
There you go.
Sir, Europa League, that's not for a while. We got a next match, another cup competition, big time match here. Sir, Leicester City versus Manchester United. You want to talk about having teams' numbers? We got Leicester City's number in the same way where we can't beat Arsenal when we're better than them. Leicester City plays really well, but when they play against us, they don't. The only thing I would caveat there is Jamie Vardy usually does score against us, but we end up usually beating Leicester City. It is going to be at the King Power Stadium, sir, Sunday, March 21st, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, the quarterfinals of the FA Cup, sir. How excited are you for this?
I'm very excited. You know, I was already kind of pre-hedging mid first half, thinking that we're going to get knocked out of the Europa League, saying I'm more excited about the FA Cup anyway. And I am, to be honest, because we won the Europa League more recently. Obviously, we won the FA Cup under Louis van Gaal. But, you know, I like the FA Cup. I like the old school classic nature of 19th century trophy, the first trophy, not just in England. I think it was like the first major European trophy. Sure. So it's a big deal.
It was first played in 1871, 72. It's the oldest national football championship in the world, sir, organized by the Football Association. Pretty much we've done the history of football here. This is back to square one, the FA Cup. This is the oldest national football competition. There's a lot of history here, sir. A lot of history. Arsenal have won 14 of them. They have won the most of any club. And, you know, that's something that kind of pisses me off.
And we're not too far behind. I think we have 12. We're like second. But the reason you want to go is also it's Wembley, baby. And by then, there just might be a couple fans let into that stadium. You know, unfortunately, there might be corporate Glazers. Glazers might show up for the FA Cup final, so we don't want to see that. But
they will not be there.
No, they will not. No, they will not. They'll only be there if we're winning a Champions League.
We have won 12 FA Cups, sir. So, you know, we're only two behind Arsenal. One would go a long way. You know, and I that's important for United fans, you know.
We're not in the league.
Week, sir, what do you make of Ole's comments this week? He came out, he said, trophies are kind of an ego thing. League position is better to measure success. You know, he said that before the Europa League match. You know, a lot of people reacting to that on the internet, kind of getting pissed. Some saying he's right. What do you think? Should you be measured by trophies or league position?
I mean, ultimately, you should be measured by both. But what he's saying is true. It's like it does paper over the fact because at the end of the day, 38 games played over 10 months requires a level of consistency that clearly says who's the best teams in the league. Right? There's nowhere to hide. Cups, you can get on a streak. You can get a good, you know, you can get good matchups. You can get on a streak, but like league, you have to say, you just look at the teams United's had, and like the teams that have consistently done well in the league are the better teams. And you know, there were some false dawns under Van Gaal, right? He got sacked. Mourinho won trophies and then completely fell apart when the Glazers' pocketbook dried up. But Ole, we're doing it low and slow, and you have to say there's being progress being made, and not the easy way because he's not getting any money. So I think he's spot on there because he's. I don't think he was necessarily just digging at a previous manager of this club. I think he was digging at some other managers in the league who get way more credit than he does. Like Arteta is touted as this tactical genius just sitting in 10th place. I've never seen a more overrated manager in my whole life than Mikel Arteta, sir.
Yeah, it was probably a shot at Arteta. I think you're right, but it's a polarizing statement for the one thing where I actually don't think he's playing to his strengths, right? We're second in the league. And, you know, I don't think anyone is – I actually think the criticism of Ole is like, hey, man, you got the lads playing pretty well, and he has been able to go on really good runs and able to produce some, like, good football. We also know he's streaky to the up and to the down, but his major criticism is, hey, you got to four semifinals and you didn't get to a final and you haven't won. And as a Manchester United manager – you know, that's something that you gotta be sorting, because you can come second all day long and that's not gonna matter to the fans. You know, second and a trophy is a big second and the FA Cup. Ole will probably be cemented for the next 3 years as manager of Manchester United. Second and getting balanced in two semis, then it's gonna be the cloud is kind of gonna darken. You know, so it's because at United. Because of what Sir Alex did, you're always going to be measured by trophies as well. Like, it's both. Like you said, it is both.
No, it is both. And I also think this comment was said before the two cup ties this week, right? So he was hedging. Hedging say, look at the performance we've had in the league if we get balance from both. He knew AC Milan was a mountain to climb with the injuries we have. But that's one checkbox done. Assuming we get through Leicester, which is a big assumption, they're a solid squad. He's going to have a great chance to pick up some silverware this year. And it's going to be important. I think you're right. It's like, he can't just get second for these fans. Cause this is Manchester United. We're not Arsenal. This is a club that expects both.
You could get second and no trophy, but you had to have a title race. You know what I'm saying? Like the distant second finish with no silverware where there's nothing really to get fired up for at the end of the season. You know, it's like, you got to have one or the other. You got to either be in the mix to win, and then that will give you the energy to kick on. Or we're second, we're still far behind, but we got a trophy that gives you energy to kick on. You remember with Mourinho, like when we won the EFL and we won Europa League, we thought special things were coming. And there's like a little bit of momentum to be able to lift a trophy, no matter, you could debate Europa League, et cetera. Lifting a trophy, still lifting a trophy. And it adds momentum to what you're building as a team, adds cohesion to the locker room, if you will.
Ole needs it. For his own cred.
He needs it.
Like, he wins a cup, he's good. Like, I think he gets all that banter from all the other fans of clubs who love to talk shit about our manager. As soon as he wins an FA Cup or Europa League, even finishing second, dude, he's good. He's a main man as a manager then. Because that's why Arteta is given the credit he is, because he did win the FA Cup and they're 10th, right? Whereas if he was 10th and didn't get it, he'd probably be sacked by now.
Sir, facts. Lifetime versus Leicester City. Games 168, drawn 30. Games lost 33. First time we ever played them was September 1894. Leicester Foss versus Newton Heath. We won 3-2 in the second division of English football. Coming into this game, Leicester City, they beat Villa 2-1. They lost to Slavia Prague 2-0. Arsenal beat them 3-1. Burnley drew. They beat Brighton and murked Leicester City 5-0. Leicester has been all over the place. They do have injuries, like I said. James Maddison, Harvey Barnes, both out, but Ian Nacho, Jamie Vardy, Mark Albrighton, they're kind of replacing and bolstering the attack at the moment, sir. Leicester City, Brendan Rodgers, ex-Liverpool manager. We don't like him. We don't rate him.
But tell you what, it's a very well-run club. and they do good recruitment. They have a director of football that actually has power, can actually make decisions above the CEO. There's a lot we could pick up from this club, especially how they've been running the last 5 to 7 years. So take note. We don't like Brendan Rodgers, but they got some good players. We obviously signed Slabhead from them, and we've been attracted to half the players on their team. James Madison, pre-signing Bruno. But it's not worth it. You know, just they charge you too much. Premier League proven. You can't afford that premium anymore, especially when the Glazers are our owners.
So we paid $80 million for Harry from Leicester. A little history. Leicester City was founded in 1884 as Leicester Foss FC, playing on a field near Foss Road in Leicester City. They moved to Filbert Street in 1891, were elected to the Football League in 1894, and they adopted the name Leicester City in 1919. Sir, a little history in 1884 when Leicester were founded. The cornerstone for the Statue of Liberty was laid on Bedloe's Island in New York Harbor, sir. Being from New Jersey, you know, been in the Statue of Liberty. It's pretty nice. Pretty old, too, and about as old as Leicester City.
There you go, sir. I like dating things. That's why we do Back in History, because you realize, like, damn, they were founding football clubs and turning the lights on for the first time.
Sir, they didn't do much for the first century, but they won the Premier League, sir, becoming, you know, unbelievable. They were nicknamed the Unbelievables. I think 5,001 odds. They won the 15-16 Premier League title. Tottenham, lads, as Tottenham crumbled, ended up winning it. Unbelievable. That was probably one of the coolest stories in sports I've ever seen in my life, was Leicester winning the EPL title.
Lads is Tottenham. I mean, is there anything more lads is Tottenham than just like your boy Pochettino just absolutely crumbling under the pressure?
My boy?
You're a big Poch fan. You rate the Argentine.
I rate him, sir. I'm just jumping the physio room injuries. This list getting long. Cavani trained a little bit. Mata. Where are you at, bro? Martial, hip injury, Bailly, knock, Pogba. So he's back. He's off the list. Donny van de Beek, he's off the list as well. He's on the bench. And Phil Jones still on it. So we got Cavani, Mata, Martial, Bailly, and Jones. It's getting, the list is getting smaller, but Cavani's that name where we desperately need him to be able to come in every other game, rotate him. Regardless, after this Leicester City game, he's not going back to play internationals. He's going to get rest, so he'll be back for the push at the start of April. That big EPL push, we should have Cavani back, should have Bailly back, Pogba, Van de Beek, Martial probably as well, Mata unknown. But for that, like I mentioned, the two-month push to the end of the year, in these two cup competitions, hopefully, and the league, we should be doing good. The Rashford is the one that isn't listed here. He's the concern.
He is. He's the one that went down during the game. This wasn't even, by the time we pulled it, he wasn't even on the list yet. So that's the one to keep an eye on. I'm worried about the striker situation. We have our main three strikers, Rashford, Cavani, and Martial, all out injured. You know, we finally have some reinforcements in the 10 position to give a little support to our boy Bruno. So Donny and Van de Beek and Paul Pogba are going to feature a lot more. But now we know all our strikers went down injured, sir. So I think it could never be a better time for an international break, especially an international break where it doesn't look like people are going to be traveling because it's COVID, and no one's going to be allowed back in, and then they're going to have to quarantine. So I think most managers are not going to let their players travel. So I don't even know why they're going to have the games. But anyway, it could be a good time to, you know, lick our wounds a little bit, get the squad back to fitness and push on, because you're right, it's going to be a busy April and May.
Sir, given those injuries, what is your lineup for Leicester City? This is a big one.
I promise I did not look at yours. I put mine down before. Hendo in net, world number one. I got a back four of AWB, Lindelof, Maguire, Shaw. I'm going to do Fred and McTominay midfield with Bruno, Pogba, Ahmad, and Greenwood. We got nobody else. Who you got, sir?
Sir, he's coming back, baby. Beard and all. Dave saves world number one in net. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, Maguire, Shaw, Pogba, McTominay, midfield two. I think McTominay can do the dirty work. You saw that today. He was dropping back in between the center backs, increasing the movement out of the back. I think you see Pogba take a more central role in a two with Bruno. Then you're going to have Ahmad on the right, James on the left, Greenwood up top. Again, like you said, we're thin in attack. But I think Pogba getting forward. The good part about Pogba is you always bring Fred off the bench, push Pogba up.
Yep.
Right? I would like to see him in the two, and then if we need some creativity, you can make a sub, attacking sub, and then push Pogba forward as opposed to having Pogba play forward and then bringing up like Ahmad on. I'd rather see that him going like as option two, like we saw today, get Pogba in a greater attacking position because he can ping one to James, Ahmad, and Greenwood if he's playing in the two.
Totally. And it's amazing how effective he was up on the wing. You know, you put him up there. Yeah. His hold-up play is great. And then, like, Bruno was just fiending off of it, and he started playing better. And it's just – it's great to see. And it's what Bruno has needed. It's like whenever he's paired with another creative player on the field, he's played his best football for Manchester United. So excited to see them come out, sir. What are the bookies saying?
Bookies give Manchester United are the favorites. Leicester City to win plus 180, the draw plus 230, and United to win plus 130. Sir, it's still razor thin. Either it can go either way. Goal scorers: Jamie Vardy is the top favorite to score first, plus 400. Cavani's next, and Fernandez plus 500, plus 550. Sir, you know it's gonna be tight. Something tells me Vardy might get his goal.
I don't know. United have been on a run of clean sheets recently. Defense has looked very solid. So I'm hoping that to continue. You know, it's the goals that have been seen to be lacking. It's going to be a big game. Big, big game. We have had Leicester's number. Last game we played, didn't go 0-0. So we got to find our scoring boots against Leicester City.
What's your score prediction, sir?
So I think it's going to be 1-0. Nice and tight. I think Bruno gets the goal. Set up by Paul Pogba. United march on to the quarters. I think we're in the quarters, into the semis.
I'm going to say 2-1. I'm going to say 2-1 United do it. They get it done. We're going to leak one to Vardy. Come back, sir. Come back special. Paul Pogba will be involved in both goals. You heard it here. Crystal ball, sir. I got it.
Nails it. 10 out of 10, baby. Can't wait.
United in the news. Sir, I was waiting for that news music to drop. I was just ready for it. I was ready for it.
There's so much hot news, sir. Take us through it. How are we looking?
Hey, you know, the soundboard, the timing, we're doing it via Skype. So we're doing the best we can, get as many pods out as possible, sir. It's tight schedule here. Hannibal Medjbri and Anthony Elanga agree to long-term deals. These are two top academy prospects, sir. Big time. We saw the photos this week. Hannibal, his last name's tough to pronounce. I'm trying the best I can. But, you know, we all know Hannibal's an animal. You'd love to see him. He's got the sideshow bob hair. Been playing well with Ahmad and Facundo, sir, U23s. He's a boss. Probably not ready for the first team. Probably needs another year and a half. But, again, great player.
Great player, and same with Elanga. You know, I've been watching quite a bit of U23s, and he's a player, a real player on the wing. I don't think it's going to be very long before we see him feature for the first team. But this is good to see from United. You know, like maybe this is our new DOF getting his feet dirty quickly, just signing up these long-term prospects that are showing real talent. We also just signed Ted Nmenji to a new long-term deal, who is the young center back at Derby under the one and only Waza Wayne Rooney, who's just talking about how well he's been playing. So it's good to see from United. We've often signed good academy players and sometimes let them leave for nothing, like Paul Pogba. So these are players that have a lot of talent, and we're not going to be spending big money. So you got to hold on to the boys you got.
Yeah, I think this is exactly when we talk about this isn't a traditional European director of football. This is a director of football for Manchester United. Like Murtaugh, his experience is in this, and this is what he's focused on. As far as how much we're going to pay for Erling Haaland, not so much. Murtaugh's probably not in the room. He might be on the phone, but you know, he's more like signing these extensions with the youngsters, you know, managing the loans of the youngsters, et cetera. And that's really, it is important, but the idea he's like the director of football, going to be playing hardball with Dortmund, getting Haaland in, like that's what traditional director of football do. That's not what he is going to do.
Yeah, poor guy. He basically has been given very little power, just the title only. He probably didn't even get a salary of a proper DOF either.
Sir, you make a good point. But for Murtaugh, you want to be the director of football at Manchester United? Like, yeah,
sure.
I'll take it. Next bit of news here: Fabrizio Romano, Manchester United have scouted one of Europe's most promising center back, sir. For Fabrizio Romano, he is the truth. And he says, we're after Malmo defender Anel Ahmed Hodzik, sir. I think I got that right. I watched the scouting videos on Angel, 6'4", 21-year-old, sir. He's a beast. Came out of Nottingham Forest Academy, playing for Malmo in Sweden, sir. That's where Zlatan Ibrahimovic came from, sir. I've been there. Malmo, Sweden. It's a great place to have a few dark ales. Watch some hockey in Malmo, Sweden, actually, of all things, sir.
I bet it's a big hockey town. This feels like just about right. You know, like you look at his transfer fee and it's like £3 million on transfermarket.com. We're going like, you know, the players no one's heard about, Sweden. This feels like a very credible, given the amount of transfer money that we're probably going to have at our disposal this summer and how I would imagine most of it's going to be saved for an attacking player. A bargain bin type of center back that can compete with Bailly and Twanzebe for the next in line. You know, it's probably right up our alley. So this sounds like my kind of deal, given what we got to work with.
Sir, and watching his highlights, obviously you got a caveat. It is Sweden. He's got a great ball out of the back. He's 6'4", but he's got pace. He's almost like a thinner, faster Modric. You know, he can actually turn players. Has an attacking mindset and a great challenge. Has a great tackle like Aaron Wan-Bissaka in the Swedish league. So in the Swedish league, he's like balling out. So you got to take that with a grain of salt. But again, a youngster who has, you know, the physical attributes, you know, he has the tackle, he's got the passing in this game. And why not add some competition to this back line at Manchester United? We need to freshen it up. And like you said, I'm fine going with youth. Because again, we got Twanzebe, we got Bailly. He might be able to get healthy. You never know, sir. I'm going to say probably not, but then Twanzebe, Lindelof, Maguire, you add this kid in the mix, I think you're going to see everyone up their game. You look at what Luke Shaw, tell us did the Luke Shaw. I think he could be the guy to get Lindelof to up his game. That's what we need at United. We need more competition. We need more hungry young players coming into United.
Yeah, it's a great signing if we could do it. You know, the kind of signing we should be doing, we should be doing the next kind of signing, sir, because this one, speaking of £3 million, have you,
sir, you take this one. You put it in here. You're already smiling. You're excited to talk about this story. Tell me about it.
Because it's just like we bag on this management team, you know, front office of Manchester United all the time. And this is like, you want to know why we do? Well, here you go. Manchester United's failure to sign Erling Haaland for just £3 million down to new transfer chief's error. They're blaming Murtaugh already. Apparently, in 18, we were on the way to sign then Molde striker Haaland. Originally, there was a call scheduled for 9 a.m. and they got with the agent. They got the times wrong because we were in Norway, in UK. The time is different. And then apparently, Haaland went on to sign for RB Salzburg. Everybody knows what happened. They're blaming Murtaugh, but this feels like, hey, Eddie, weren't you in charge of transfers back then, bro? I'm pretty sure you were in charge, and you whiffed on that one. So, also, we had a chance to sign him for £18 million last January, and that's when we should have signed him.
No, of course, but you're totally right. Like, apparently, and also says, like, you know, it's exactly what you think the transfer is. Just like throwing things at the wall, hope they stick. You know, they didn't even wait for the call. They signed another deal. Like, you know, they didn't think United were real. I'm sure the communication from Ed Woodward is just absolutely atrocious and his team. And like, just to hear that we whiffed on this is like insane, because when we get to our next bit of news, the Dortmund are putting 150 million euro / 130 pound price tag on Haaland. That is a 127 million pound error, sir. And can you, how many of those you make? You know, how many of those can you make?
I mean, Eddie's made a lot of those errors. He's made a shit ton of those errors. And you know what? It's 100, what you said, 47, or it's like 120 million or 30 million because they could have signed him for 18 million pounds. We were in the lead and we said we didn't want to pay the Asian fees to Reno Maiola. And look, he's the number Rio. I can't even say his name. Sorry.
You said Reno Miola.
What is his name? Mino Raiola? Yeah, I mixed it up. I got dyslexia. So
Mino Raiola.
Yeah, he's not worth knowing his name. Dude, they're going to put us over a bucket again. They did it last summer for Sancho. That deal never happened.
Reno Miola.
So the problem is like, we're not getting him now. He's going to City or another team with too much cash. Hey. No, I'm just being real. I'm just telling people what they need to hear.
Sir. You had your little news with Murtaugh blowing it. I've got my news here. I ran the numbers. This is from Build, sir. I'll tell you. And I got another piece of news.
Keep going.
When news breaks on the internet for all American Red Devils, especially on Twitter, Goal.com says, per Tutto Sport, Ronaldo more likely to come to United than Real Madrid. This is what Tutto Sport says. So I'm like, what the hell is a Tutto Sport? It's an Italian publication, sir. I go on the internet, I search it, I find it. I find the article, I go into Google Translate, I translate the article, and it's some journalist there speculating on his own with no real rumor. And so Goal.com will literally take a rumor from a guy's mouth who doesn't know anything about Ronaldo's camp, doesn't know anything about the transfer dealings of Juventus, and he'll say something. So you got to really dig on these transfer news articles because a lot of them are just hearsay when someone clips something social. This is from Bild in Germany. This is like rock solid, right? This is coming from inside Dortmund, 130 million pound price tag on Haaland this summer, sir. Where have we heard the 130 million before?
Sancho.
They want to sell one player or the other for 130 million, Dortmund. And what did Dortmund say when we didn't want to pay 130 million?
Walk on.
And what did they do?
They still have Sancho, and they still got Haaland, and Haaland's worth a lot more than Sancho now.
So per Bild, when Dortmund comes out and they say the price is 130 million based on how they behaved last year, what do you think the price is going to be?
130 million.
His release clause is 75 million euros or 65 million pounds, maybe a little more, which becomes active next summer. So this is the big sort of his price gets cut in half if he doesn't sell this summer. So I think there might be some haggling there. But essentially they say Chelsea, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Man City, and United and Liverpool are the six clubs willing to fight for Haaland this summer. As far as Chelsea goes, I recently saw rumors they're in for Aguero. I think they're in for a lot of number nines. Chelsea is dying for one. They're still playing Giroud. And allegedly, Abramovich has said that it's going to be his personal mission to bring Haaland in. Man City, they are getting rid of Aguero. They are definitely looking for number nine. And they have unlimited oil money, sir. And they break financial fair play. His dad played on Man City, and his dad's career was ended by Roy Keane, famously. So as far as like the two clubs that can spend the most money and meet that asking price, Chelsea and City are it. Real Madrid, I've heard Mbappe, Barcelona, they're trying to tie up Messi. Liverpool, nothing. Haven't really heard much there. They're going to wheel and deal a few players. But United, can we realistically buy Haaland, sir? What do you think?
No. Zero chance. The problem is we had our chance and we fucking blew it. And the chance was the January we signed Bruno Fernandes. Now, you would say if we signed Haaland, we probably wouldn't have gotten Bruno. Things might not have turned out as well. We could have lost Ole, could have lost a lot of players, but things obviously went a certain way. And we got Bruno, and he's been a talisman. He's been kicking ass. But we probably should have signed both, sir. You know, a competent club, given the hole they were in and the amount of lack of investment they've been spending, should have made both signings that January, set their manager in the right position. We're not going to be able to afford him, dude, because the two clubs that are going to go after him the most are literally break financial fair play for fun, and no one seems to give a shit because there are no rules in football anymore. And City are going to get him, bro. It's like there's no doubt about it. Like they're letting Aguero go. Jesus is not that good. They're going to get – he's like he looks like a City player, bro. He's like mean mugging, and he's going to fit. Unfortunately.
His dad
played – I know. He's going to City, dude, and they have the money.
Bro, his dad played there, and Roy Keane ended his dad's career. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you think he was to come to – what do you think his dad thinks of Manchester United, bro? I mean, like, just to be honest, Cavani's dad doesn't like it. He just doesn't like the weather. I mean, this guy's
– he played for them when they were dog shit, too. They were terrible. Yeah. City were fucking awful. So it's like if he's smart, he'll know that this is a real club and City is a fake club, bro. They are a plastic club. Can't even fill their stadium. They can't even fill their stadium full of people. That's not good. Dude,
it's pretty insane. So, you know, I ran the numbers for all United fans in case you're wondering. So, you know, I've heard rumors, you know, clearly we have 80 million cash in the balance sheet, right, sir? I've heard rumors that we could afford 50 to 80 million net spend. So you would assume we would have to draw down on the revolver and basically get more debt to be able to afford that because you can't just spend all of your money. So United could do 50 to 80. I'm thinking it's more 50 net. But we have a lot of people to move, right? You can move Pogba, you can move Jones, you can move Lingard, you can move Matic, you can move Dalot, right? Assuming you get like 50 for Pogba, say for Jones, Lingard, Matic, Dalot, you get 40. I'm trying to be as generous as possible. That leaves around 140 to 170 million total spend. And this is like really like generous, I believe. It's probably more in the 120 million number. How much are you really going to get for those other players? Who knows? And Haaland at 130 million pounds would be like 90% of that. You know, 75 to 90% of that spend. Is it really worth spending all that money on one player? And here's the deal. Like, could we get Haaland done at 80? Like, possibly. But at 130 with Chelsea and Man City really keen, like, we're going to get priced out pretty soon, dude. So, you know, I'm saying there is a chance, just like last year with Sancho, there's a chance, but the headwinds are against United spending tons of money again. And it's going to be more of that sell and buy the youth, right? Like, I really like the Anel Ahmed Hozitz. Sir, the defender.
If he signs, we'll learn how to say his name. We'll learn how to say his name.
It's more of those guys, sir.
Well, your chance to sign him is gone. It's like you got gazumped by Dortmund multiple times. Bellingham's getting an England call-up. Kid's like a stunner. We don't have the cash, and our owners are deadbeats. They're like a deadbeat dad, bro. They ain't paying up. They ain't paying no alimony. The guy took $100 million out of the club without even blinking, like not even thinking nothing. Took his dividend.
But if they're putting if it was the opposite and they're putting $100 million into the club, then I could see us going not. And making a big splash. But instead, they're taking $100 million out. They're taking their dividend. They're adding more debt to the club, and we're facing financial headwinds. And for me, I just think $130 million – especially with COVID, if the fans were back and United were printing money again, maybe, but I just don't see us doing these big money deals. I see a lot more scrappy work from Woody and Co. in the transfer window, and that's why big wage deals like bringing Ronaldo back from Juventus make total sense, sir.
Dude, Abramovich just built a $700 million yacht, and it's his fourth yacht. That guy has too much cash because he's stolen it all from the Russian people. They're going to be in a bidding war. It's going to be City versus Chelsea. Because they know Werner's shit, because he is. And they're going to say, like, he's 21 years old. This kid's like a monster. He's the new Zlatan Ibrahimovic. He's a fucking – dude, it looks like he's going to dominate European football for the next 10 years. So
yeah, problem is you miss out. And this is why United, it's like what you see with United. And it's like, we're going to come second this year. And if we don't try to compete for this signing, especially with the Ole connection. And also, you want to add the Raiola drama on top of the – it's a more headwinds. But if we miss out on this player and he goes to one of our rivals, sir, it's almost like we're just admitting that we're going to be competing for top four for the next couple of years. Like,
We are. Years. The Glazers are going nowhere, bro. We are competing for the top four. Like, our chance to sign Erling Haaland is long gone. It was a year ago. And honestly, that's why I put the article about 18, because we had a chance to sign him on the cheap, bro. Joining the United Academy, he would have done great. And instead, we're like, we have no leadership. We were run into the ground by bad owners and a bad CEO. And you know what? Ole's fighting with two hands behind his back, sir.
So you're telling the fans not to get excited about Haaland?
Don't. Because Sancho, we got excited all summer and we got let down. And this is even, he's in more demand. He's a better player than Sancho. And everybody wants a striker like him. Everybody.
I'm getting Sancho. The thing is, realistically, we need to sign center back, right winger, number nine, and center midfield if we let Pogba go. So there's four players, and if we have 140, that's got to be split. You know, we can't be doing one for 90, and that's kind of where the rubber is going to meet the road. Is we need a lot of players, and this should have been the Edward Ware 350 window. We obviously know how that's gone, sir.
That's the wait now that 350, bro.
But this is a window where we really need to, like, four big quality signings. We really need it. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out, sir. I think there is going to be money there, but it comes down to needing a world-class director of football, which we don't have. So Eddie Woodward, you know, what a clown. You're just going to see him a lot of – let's say Agallo might come back on the last day, sir. You never know.
I would say prepare to be disappointed, because you know what? All that money that's being funded is dependent on transfers. You know how long it takes us to sell players? Even if we sell Pogba, it'll happen like the second to last day of the window, bro. It's like they are so bad at doing deals. Matt Judge is like unbelievable. He still has this job. He didn't lose his job. He's still negotiating transfers.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, sir. But, you know, we could talk transfers all day. There will be summertime. We still got a season. We'll get into it. We got some fan questions. Thank you for everyone who tweeted us all the hot banter. We absolutely love it. Let's get in, sir. At IC1 on Twitter, quote, "What a win by the lads. Lackluster at times, but Pogba, my God, what a game. He's a true king of Milan."
We needed them. We needed the spark. It's exactly what United needed, and it was exciting to watch in the second half. United showed a lot of grit. Everybody kind of grew into it, defense especially. Put in a shift, all 11. What a game.
At Jamal Mota, sirs, we eke out another ugly win, but on to the next round. Most of the remaining teams look weak, so it's now up to the lads to lift that Hans and Franz trophy. Praying we keep Pogba fit. We can't sell him, as we know Woodward won't properly replace him. On to Leicester City. Hashtag Glazers out. Good point, sir.
That's another great reason to give him like a bumper deal. Give him $500,000 a week, bro. It, honestly, because I didn't even think they're never going to get replaced. It's like, you're not going to go get someone good. He's not going to go get Grealish. He's going to be like, all right, you got Bruno.
Grealish to City. I just saw Grealish to City, sir. Grealish to City. Haaland to City. Messi to City. What are we going to do?
No, we're screwed. Dude, we can't compete with these clubs with all that cash. And you got Glazers, dividends, $95 million out of the club without a dollar going in.
Apricot Mets, say it louder for the people in the back. Pogba cannot be allowed to leave the club without being replaced. He draws so much attention. Open space for Bruno. Always an outlet for Fred, who's scared on the ball. We are a much better team with healthy Paul Pogba. Hashtag Glazers out. The American Red Devils, they're on it, sir. Can't sell him without a replacement.
We know the track record. We still haven't replaced Lukaku. It was a good point you made, and it's true. It's like, you don't have to rate Lukaku, but he did score goals, and he does score goals in Italy. And the replacement they got was a 34-year-old with creaky knees who's played like 11 times in 35 games. So,
The second replacement, sir. The first replacement came from Shanghai Shenhua on the last day.
Exactly, bro. So that's why you just like, we're not going to be able to sign anybody. So just... He misses 2 months a game, 2 months a season every season, sir. He gets injured every year. Paul Pogba actually has got not the greatest injury record in the world. But that being said, we're not going to get anyone else. So just, hey, I'll deal with his agent. I'll deal with the rumors if I can get a gameplay like that today.
At United, Dondo, Pog back. Excellent job bringing on Paul P for the second half. He bossed the game for us. James grew into the game nicely after we started horribly too. Ref didn't seem to want to call fouls against Milan. The more Henderson plays, the better he looks, sir. Shout out to Dino at Odell Red Devil. Sloppy at times, but a strong performance overall. Pogba back and in full force. We are the strongest side left in the tournament. It's ours to lose. More Hans and Franz, sir. And that is such a great point. I have never seen, like, we've talked about winning tournaments. Sir, this is there. I read the teams. It's there for the taking, mate. This is like, Arsenal is the biggest threat. Come on, Arteta? It's like, come on, we got to be winning, dude. That's what we got. We got to get this, like, no silverware off our back. We got to be winning.
No, actually, the teams left in the FA Cup are much harder. You have to travel, and you have the two-legged nature, right, which adds a whole other element. I mean, you think of anything that would benefit a United side, right? You get the job done.
Arsenal. I'm calling it. It's Arsenal.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
It's Arsenal tomorrow, 100%.
No doubt. Like, 0% doubt.
It's good for ratings, right? It will be good for ratings. It's like, it's totally rigged. It's rigged, sir. It's a rigged.
No, you AC know
Milan
it is.
United, AC Milan United is good for ratings.
Yeah, that's what they did it.
Manchester United, Arsenal are good for dudes. Hans and Franz. They're cheating in the drop. Hans and Franz.
I love how it's officially Hans and Franz, though. I love that. Like, people are calling it Hans and Franz.
Well, who else would make that song?
I don't know, sir. I don't know. Somebody related to somebody in some bigwig at Europa League.
At Rolling the Deep, 1995, quote, huge sigh of relief. Battled for the win. It wasn't pretty, but all we needed was a win. Pog back. Glad to secure qualification and move on to Sunday to play Leicester City. Glory, glory, Man United, sir. That is the podcast. Thank you for everyone who listens and downloads the American Red Devil, sir. We've been through it all. We've talked about Europa League. Pogba's back. Transfers. What's going to happen? Leicester City, sir. Even, you know, laying the cornerstone of the Statue of Liberty. I think we covered it all in this podcast. Anything left?
We got it all. We just got to talk about those top downloads, sir. We got to thank the fans. Keep the ball moving.
Sir, if you like the American Red Devils, we are for fans, by fans. If you want to support independent fan content, you can support us on Patreon. Essentially, we don't have any sponsors. It's just us. We want to be supported by you directly, the fans. We don't want any outside influences in the podcast because we believe fan content should be independent. So the best way to do that, patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. Check out our tiers. You can support us in many different ways. We're giving away shirts, stickers, pins, and scarves. Check out our online store as well at www.americaredevils.com. Click on store. Blazers out, sale, $9.99. Scarves are great. Also, check out our amazing content. Like you said, all fan-generated. That is what we're all about at www.americaredevils.com. Sir, write a review on iTunes. Give us our top cities last 7 days for downloads, sir. I'm sure Hans and Franz are on the list.
They certainly could be. Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Big shout out to Canada. Langley, Canada. Hamilton, Canada is number two. Westminster, California. Tracy, California. Las Vegas, Nevada. How you doing? How you doing? Can't wait to be back. Chicago, Illinois. New York, New York. Danbury, Connecticut, number eight. Brooklyn, New York. And last but not least, Hotlanta, Georgia. Appreciate all the downloads. Appreciate all the American Red Devils listening in, week out. We couldn't do it without you. Keeping the lights on. Patreon members going an extra mile. Big shout out to them. Appreciate you.
No, I mean, big shout out to Patreon members. I mean, we seriously looked at having ads on the show, and we just thought it just wasn't in our DNA. And, you know, sir, we do it for the love of the game. We want to build this platform out, and we really believe in that vision and having something be supportive for fans by fans. You know, you guys can email us, you can tweet us, you can tell us what you like, what you don't like. You know, that's what it's all about. And, you know, we want to create the website as well. If anyone wants to write an article, reach out to us, americaredevils@gmail.com. We want fan opinions there. All opinions are welcome, sir. That is what it's all about, getting the fan perspective out there, because it's too much Ed Woodward, tentacle Simon Stone telling you what you want to say type of BS going on out there these days, sir. All these clickbaity headlines, you know, with the transfers. I'm not buying it.
No, it's true. Even for our other fan, United fan homepages, you know, they're like clickbaity, talk a lot of shit on our own players. I think United is a special club, hated, adored, never ignored. There is a reason they came up with that slogan about United, because it either love us or hate us. And some fans even seem to hate us. So this is a place where, you know, there are no bad opinions. As long as you love this club and hate the Glazers.
Yeah.
Well, you're welcome with open arms.
It's a challenging time for fans, but I also think it's a special time that as fans, you should hold your ownership to account when they're pulling $100 million out and you're seeing what's going on in the league and Holland, et cetera. It's like, you really need to challenge the ownership, because just like this podcast should be challenged from the fans, the club should be challenged with the fans, and the club should have a positive relationship with the fans instead of having a positive relationship with the commercial sponsors. There could be a balance, sir, between the two. Like you said, you can invest well in the team and the team could do better. You know, the business could do better. You can make more money by having a good connection with your fan base, being more engaged, bringing in players, having the club be more successful. So it's not just like you need to spend money and lose money. It's like, no, you can invest in this team and win at the same time. There is a win-win scenario. Unfortunately, the Glazers are like the you lose, me make money scenario. But, you know, as a fan, you got to be aware of these things. And this is not the first time, sir. International break is coming up. We're going to be doing podcasts. You have a great interview with Stanley Chow coming up, the guy who designed the famous UK artist who designed our logo. He'll be on. And then we're doing more history, sir. An important period of time for Manchester United history between World War I and World War II. That, again, was another period where the ownership of the club was up for grabs and was fought over by fans and some greedy people like the Glazers as well. So this is not the first time it's happened in our club's history. And as fans, calling it out is important. And that's why independent fan con is important, because we don't need nothing from the Glazers.
We don't need nothing. And you know what? I think people have let off the pressure. You know, I was watching old games, 2010. Yeah. Wayne Rooney talking about leaving. He was leaving because we weren't spending money, bro. It's like, we left Tevez go. We left Ronaldo go. We signed Obertan and Michael Owen, bro. It's like, we weren't spending any money. That's why Fergie retired, because they were not investing in the club. They've been doing this shit for over a decade. You have to remind them, when fans are back in Old Trafford, bring out the green and gold. Even if you don't get American Devils, get a scarf and wear it, because they won't be there. But we should make our voices heard. We used to in abundance, and you just don't see it anymore. And we should, because they've gotten even more shameful. Like they've gotten worse somehow. I mean, really, it's bad.
It got worse, but the fans have become less aware, exactly, or less concerned. And it's like, I remember when I went to my first game, was it 09 or 10 Liverpool, green and gold. I wore green and gold. Everyone green and gold. It was there. And then I've always worn it every match I've been to. in the last, 10 years, and less have been supporting the cause. And so it's something that I think this summer hopefully wakes people up. We got to band together, sir. We just got to demand they invest in this team, because United, sir, we don't deserve Europa League. It's Europa League.
Hans and Franz, bro. No more Hans and Franz, all right?
Sir, it's been a podcast. We appreciate everyone who listens. American Red Devils, you know I could go all day, sir. But as always,
we're kicking them blue.